But anyway, that's what happened to him. That's why he was selling used cars. But he was a Christian man, and he had went back. He kind of got away from the thing. You know, he got hurt. So he kind of got away from God. But listening to those broadcasts, he came back to balance. And listen to the radio, I mean, you know. And so the Holy Spirit can give you ideas to help people where they're at. And it's important to help. We need each other here. Sinners need us, and Christians need you. Everybody needs to see you living the life of God. And you're not going to do it right without the love of God. It's not going to make sense to anybody without the love of God. You got the love of God keep you refreshed. See, you can go about your life trying to win souls and worried about people surrendering to the Antichrist and all the inflation and all the wars. The wicked going to do wicked. These things are going to happen. Use your authority and stop something. You can stop a lot of stuff. You can't make a man change his mind, but you can always stop Satan. You can interrupt his plan. But first, you got to live a holy life. Your life has to be pure before the Lord. If you're in league with the world, you forfeited your authority. And Satan will act like you won, but you didn't. And when it's time for you to learn from the Lord, you won't have an appetite for his knowledge. And this has happened to many people. And when you read the address to the seven churches, the way that they got to where they was didn't happen in one day. It happened over time. So it's important to keep a thriving relationship with Jesus. And every message God give you, Lord, what do you want? What should I do with the in my life right now? This is what's happening. This is not what I want to happen. I want it to be better and better. I say, what do I do to get it there? And the Lord will give you a plan. If you're a pastor of a church and your members have fallen back because of COVID and the great falling away. See, don't get it confused. The great falling away had to happen. Just like the five foolish virgins. You know, they did. People are going to do what they're going to do. There's no way. Either they're going to honor God or they're not. It's like Keith. I heard Keith Moore last night. Now, this broadcast was done in 2021. And he said, he was talking about honor. I love it. Devotion, what's the word he used? A person, if a person honors God, that comes from their heart. It's not something you can make them do. It's either they're going to do it or they're not. And that's how it is. But see, when you live the life of God to everybody, when you live in the love of God, then there's no offense to create a rift. The word is sown in peace. So when you genuinely love people, people are made in God's image. They know that you genuinely love them. And when you don't get offended when they do you wrong, and you love them anyway, and you include them and you help them if you can, and you pray for them, they'll begin to notice it, and it'll break the barriers down. Some of the worst sinners are savageable. They have a heart that would be attracted to God. But because of the enemy's works, the enemy used them. While they're weak, he tried to distract them away from salvation. And so sometimes people act rude, and everybody's afraid to witness to them. And so, but see, this is how the enemy gets a foothold in the lives of people. And the Lord told me this years ago. It's through their weaknesses, hurts, and fears. So anything that they're, if you're weak, you can be leavened because of weakness. And leaven means hardened. Your heart can be hardened because of sin. And you can have, you'll have sinful appetite and no appetite for God. And it can get worse to the point that you don't want salvation. But some people, they tired of the world and they frustrated. They have no rest. They're not happy anymore. They're about to divorce their spouse. They're frustrated. And so when somebody love them and they show them that love of God and they're wise and they work, they labor with them. Jesus said he needed laborers, not just preachers. He needed laborers. So when you labor with people, God will give you a strategy. And that strategy can work. and you apply the strategy to everybody, and especially to those who God alert you to. See, when God give me a dream about somebody, I pray earnestly while I can. If the Lord give me anything for anyone, I work with them. I say things to work with them. And I ask God for how to do it. I may have a knowledge, but what do I do, Lord? How do I do this? When I'm around that person, I just get sensitive. I don't just say what I know unless God prompt me to. See, when that with through relationships, a lot of through relationship with the Lord, if it's strong, then you'll be covenant appropriate. You'll say what's necessary that will change everything. Weaknesses, hurts, and fear. A lot of people have been hurt, and they expect to be hurt. They're on defense. They live in it. Some people live on defense. Well, when they're living in defense mode, love them anyway. Be kind to them. When something good happens for them, appreciate it. So I'm glad that happened. I'm glad you got that. I'm glad you got that car. I'm glad that you got promoted. And they might be mean, but if they're your boss now, try to help them out. Try to be a blessing to them. This wins souls, not just evangelists. Evangelists, you know, they're better than a vitamin B shot. They come and tell everybody, and their anointing break all the yokes and barriers. And they see, and people see for a while, and then they get saved, and then they're refreshed. They don't want the world. And before, it takes prayer. It takes laboring with people, being patient, living like Jesus works. So you don't give up on people just because of the way they act or the way they vote or the political stance that they have. You know, when Roe v. Wade got overturned, one of the ladies that spoke against abortion, she worked there. She worked at the Planned Parenthood. And she was a Christian. And she got an abortion on Saturday, went to church on Sunday. And then, you know, she realized how evil it is. But because before the enemy can get a person to believe they're a Christian and do something like that, there has to be a falling away. The falling away happened a long time ago. From the time people began to compromise, Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. He'll turn to them and say, I never knew you. So there are many Christians that need to get saved because they fell away after the world. They're doing whatever they do. I've had pastors tell me that they'll let that there are some women they'll come and preach and then try to sleep with them. And they said they were a preacher. And it's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And people are unchecked. They're not balanced. And so there is a great falling away. People have left the love of God, the relationship with Him that Christ gave us through redemption. And they're living another way. So it's important to stay balanced. And you know, I read it again. A few weeks ago, the Lord gave me His definition for balance. And it was beautiful. And it blessed me. And I'll never forget it. I keep it in. I always read it because I want to keep it authentic. You know, he said, here it is, balance. He said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God. Balance is determined sincerity, first to the love of God, to the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. Perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. Proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly view. Now, when you're balanced, you're in the love of God. You don't care what God wants you to do. You wrote Him a blank check. You said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. Whatever you do with it, I'll be glad about it. And you trust Him that way. And you spend time with him. You don't just read the words for your benefit. You spend time and ask God, what do you want to talk about? And you listen. You know, that's what relationship is. It's not, when I talk to my friends, I listen to what they want to talk about. I talk about things, highlights in my life too. But I'm genuinely interested in what they have to say. And if I can help, I will. And, you know, that's what you do when you're friends. And I'm interested in them. I like talking to people. But when I talk, and when you talk about the Lord, you're talking my language. I love it. Anybody that I'll stop what I'm doing to talk about the Lord because I love him so much. Now, when I'm around people and I genuinely love them, and I consistently love them, and I love everybody. They used to get mad at me because people also, even though you love them and you have good rapport with them, they want you to be mad at whoever they're mad at. But I don't let them do that. I said, no, you got to love that guy. You got to love him. Be a blessing to him. Oh, man, that, you can see the steam coming out of them ears, so to speak. But it's important. Every person is important to God. And if you want to be effective, walk in the love of God. Since there's nothing like sincerity. All right, he said, so the enemy, he damaged people's lives. He caused damage in their life. Weaknesses, hurts, and fears. Sometimes people, they have fear. And what do you do with fear? The way you get rid of fear, anybody can get rid of fear. Perfect love. The perfect love of Jesus. Not just any love, but the love of Jesus it cast out fear. Jesus had walked in perfect love. So the theme is love today. If you walk according to the love of God, and then you're in a relationship, the Lord will give you wisdom for people. So if you study the Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and then the Psalms, and the word, whenever you hear the word of God, you're putting a treasure in your treasure chest. Your heart is the treasure chest. The word of God is the treasure. You put it in there. The Holy Spirit will bring it back. He'll give you understanding wherever you need it. And it's very important. Now, the love of God supersedes the world in every way. It supersedes the world in every way there is. But the world, they can't help themselves. They need us to be like Jesus for them. They need laborers. And that's a good the Lord just gave me the title. Covenant laborers. All right. See, when you minister to people, you can't do it without Jesus, but through Christ you can do all things. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. I call that the forgotten scripture. That's St. John 15:5, I believe. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So, and people know they got to have the word, they got to have the blood to be saved. But that, what Jesus is talking about is relationship here also. Well, without the blood, you can't get saved. Without his broken body, you can't get healed. All that's done. You can get saved and healed. And then he said, he gave us the Great Commission, going all the world, preach the gospel. Well, if you just say, well, I'm finna go and do that, and you start marching to wherever you decided to go, it's not going to work right unless God sent you. See, you don't have to go to a special place unless God tell you to. But if you just get the map and you spin the globe and then put your finger on a part, I'm going to start preaching right here. That's not the way to do it. You know, if the church is going to New York and they're going to do some street witnessing, why not go and pray, Lord, am I ready for something like that? What do you want me to do? But traditionally, people just go do something. Sometimes it'll work because you may have enough maturity to do it, and anytime you live in the life of God, you can be effective. So why not live that way all along? to everybody you can be kind. To everybody you can be a blessing to. You can labor for. But when it comes to ministry, you need to be connected to the vine. Jesus said it this way. This is St. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. This is the protocol that nobody need to forget. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Then he said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. All right, now here's the protocol, verse 4. This is why he said that. Even though you're washed in the blood, even though you believe and you can receive healing, all the true and precious promises, he said, if you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Now, let's say somebody's washed in the blood. They're saved. They're full of the Holy Ghost. But they let their relationship with God, it's secondary. But they're going to go out and do ministry. They don't spend time with the Lord anymore on a regular basis. They're not abiding like they used to in him. Now, they're just going to go out and they're going to pick their choir leader. If it's a pastor, they just start putting people in the positions of the church. Never asked the Lord, never thought to pray about it. Anybody that want to do it, they let them do it. They don't know who they putting in there. But when you are abiding in him, you'll get the choices of God. See, if you abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Then he said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. This is the key. Because without me, you can do nothing. Even though you were educated at the most wonderful seminary or Bible college. Let's say Bible college. You weren't the cemetery seminary. You went to the real Bible college. Holy men of God taught you. All right. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've been saved a long time. You're seasoned. Well, you still can't bear fruit unless you abide in him. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Even if you did all these wonderful things, great revivals of the past, if you're not abiding with him, everything kind of slows down. But when you have a strong relationship with the Lord, you become a covenant laborer. This is something you continue to do, according to verse 4. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. If something cut off the relationship, see, the Holy Spirit connects you to the head. Jesus is the head of the church. You're not the head. You're the body. If something, all Satan got to do is bring some kind of interference between you and the head. And now you're trying to do the work of Jesus without being connected to the head. And that's where many people are living. They long to do great works. Jesus said, the church say come. And a lot of people do. But they can't pull it off because they forgot about their first love and their relationship, which refreshes them continually. Now, the opposite of verse 5 is also true. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So the opposite of that is that he that stop abiding in him, they can't bring forth much fruit. Now, people that will hear the gospel, they'll get saved. If God's not giving you the message, the protocols that it takes, you can't do it. Without me, you can do nothing. That's the forgotten part. Verse 5, the first part, people remember pretty much. But the last part, without me, you can do nothing. That means that without being connected to the head, it is impossible to do a great work of God. Obedience, this kind of obedience is different from just the letter of the word. The Holy Spirit will give you things that you don't see. Every time he gave me assignments and things to do, there's many things I didn't see. And then he trained me. He prepared me for what he need. And these are thoughts that I didn't get from others. This came from the Holy Spirit. And through Christ, I did a lot of things. I was able to come back to balance and do precisely what God needed me to do. And I promise you, the way my ministry works, if I couldn't do it without having a relationship and receiving protocols in order to do these things. Once God gave me what to do, I had a direction. And once he gave me, he prepared me for it, trained me for it, and at the right time, he released me to do it. And I'm telling you, to be a covenant laborer, you have to stay connected to him. And then you'll see things as it really is. And that's important. Not only will you know God as he is, but you'll see things around you as they really are. And some people, they seem like they love God, but if they really love the world somewhere, they're not going to be purely devoted to him. The rapture is going to expose everything as it is. The day after the rapture, we're going to get the world to have a snapshot of the world system. People that were pretending, people that went rogue, people that apostatized, they'll be known for what they are. Even the people that died, you know, from the everywhere, all over the earth, the dead in Christ will rise first. They were the chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And all those graves from all those centuries, people are going to be out of their caskets, out of their graves. But the dead are going to be in their caskets and buried in their graves. Everybody that didn't, all the people that got Christian funerals that really wasn't of God, everybody's going to know. Because their bones will still be in the grave. According to Ken Peters, when the rapture happens, people are going to break through the ground. And you'll see it's going to happen. It's going to be something you can see. Now, if it happens that way, you'll see empty tombs all over the world. People are going to come out of those mausoleums, tombs, and everything. The dead in Christ will rise first. Now, I know Jesus walked through a wall, but in his vision, people came out of the grave. It's like a body broke through it and left a hole in the ground. And then you'll see things happening that you never seen. And it'll be like monsters to people, the kind of demons that's going to materialize. But those that are dead in Christ, they'll rise first, and we who remain will be caught away. The quick will be, they'll just disappear. I've seen a vision of the rapture before. People, a lady just disappeared, red dress and all, right before my eyes. I was sacking groceries. I asked the Lord, what will the rapture be like? He said, and immediately I heard the horn blow and I saw the lady pushing the basket. She just disappeared. I said, wow. And that answered that question. It's all about the love of God. God loves his people. Everybody that responds to it, he can work with. And he saved to the uttermost. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. Consider these things. Draw near to the Lord. He'll draw near to you. Make you effective. You'll win souls because the King is coming and people need you to. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.